It's that time of the month again.
It is. It's that time of the month again. Well, check we're all running. Okay. Yep, yeah. All the there's blibs and blobs appearing on the screen, which means the mics are on. That's good.
What a hope. Did you, please tell me you picked that shade of brown.
I did.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
No, I'm actually...
Look at the state of this.
I'm actually quite particular for anyone who has to use like, you know, audio, you know, what they call them, DAWs or whatever, you know, Pro Tools, whatever. I actually like the kind of darker, dimmer kind of colours. Anyway, if you can't see anything, obviously on the podcast, but what Baz is referring to is basically on the screen behind us. It's all brown. There's brown lines appearing as we speak.
It looks like there's a ghost sort of like smearing his ass across the screen at slow air knots. There's like an ongoing brown joke in this band. It's been going for years.
It has been going for years.
Anything brown makes you laugh for some reason.
And I also like it, just the fact that there's brown smears appearing every time we open our mouth is fairly apt.
Fairly ironic, really. Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
There we go.
Hang on a minute.
I'm going to be a bit quiet. Sorry, I've just disengaged the pad. It's a passive attenuating something. I don't know what the
something
D stands for.
D.
Something that starts with D. But it basically makes whatever input quieter. So that's why I've been quiet for the last 30 seconds. But it's all fixed now.
You haven't missed anything.
It's all live. There's no do-over.
We don't plan any of this. So it's all
as you can probably tell.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, so...
Wait, I just want to clear one thing up. I just noticed a couple of things. From last week's podcast with the old T-shirt thing, we're going on about the what's it, what do they call it, with the... venue tax thing where they take tax, a bit of tax off you. Yeah. We're whinging and whining about that, you know. I do want to say, like, that it's not every venue. I know there's a couple of people said, oh, you know, we don't do that, or, you know, we play with some great people in the UK, and some amazing venues, and they wouldn't dream of taking any money off bands. Just, I don't think I mentioned that last week. We got a bit too wrapped up in woe is me. You just want to say that there is
loads
of great promoters. No, it's not everywhere, is it?
No.
You know, it's great promoters and great festivals and events and stuff we play that don't take nothing off bands. So it's not all negative, is it?
No.
I'd like to say that.
Without naming any names, it tends to be the sort of monopolised venues, you know, where there's not a chain, but you know what I mean, where there's a recurring kind of...
Faceless corporation.
Yes, faceless corporations involved. Yeah. But, that's the way it is.
Anyway.
It's the way it is.
That was last week, anyway.
But, yeah, what were we going to talk about this week?
Thinking about stuff we get asked in interviews and stuff over the years, and probably the most reoccurring question we have, apart from where did the fucking name come from?
Where do you buy your trousers?
Where do I buy my trousers? If you could give a young band or a new band a piece of advice, what would it be?
Ooh. Yeah, that is a. Yeah, oh, it does come up every now and again, that question.
It does. I've been asked that question thousands of times, and it's a great question, you know. And it's nice. It's nice to be asked because, you know, maybe the person asking you, or they're either don't care who they're talking to and they're just reading it off a list of questions, or they genuinely think you might have something to say to, you know.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's nice to have been around a while and to impart your sort of limited wisdom you do have.
Worldly wisdom.
Because you do go through it as a young band, you know what I mean? It can be a bit of a roller coaster, you know, and you know, there's a lot of emotion there, isn't there? And it's...
Well, to be honest, yeah, like, I always feel a bit weird where we are... Don't get us wrong. We're going to talk about like advice, I guess, for bands that might just be starting out now. But this is not us claiming to be some sort of stately godfathers of the business or anything like that.
No.
Don't get us wrong. We're not preaching here. We're just sort of
It's just
maybe some of the things that if we could go back, we would probably do this differently.
Yeah, it's not a case of these are the rules you should follow. It's just a bit of a, you know, I still feel very much in touch with, like, you know, as a new band, you know, it's hard to see where you've gone as a band, you know. It's hard. I still feel like we're practicing the flipping Legion, and you know, it's hard to compute sometimes. And I'm not saying we're anything, you know, we're not blasted off to the top of the universe or anything, but, you know, still feel very much grassrootsy and, like, you know, I follow all the bands and we still play with all those bands. I love watching bands coming on and, like, new bands starting up. We play with some amazing bands, you know, that are just coming up, you know, we played with a band in Stoke, Karma Effect.
Yeah.
You're one of the best bands, best, they've been around a few years now, but I think they started during lockdown. My God, in lockdown, if we could have possibly been that good after that such a short space of time, you know, these bands are amazing. I don't know, I just like to sort of waffle on about what we've experienced over the years and hopefully some bands pick it up and go, oh, that's a useful piece of information.
Yeah. Well, what would your answer to that be then?
If I could like shrink it all down into one.
I mean, obviously we will pick it apart a little bit, but yeah, what would you sum it into one piece of advice?
I've said it before, and it's maybe a little bit obvious, but if there was one piece of advice would be, don't be a knobhead. I think that applies to a lot of aspects of being in a band.
And life.
Well, yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe, yeah. Don't be a knobhead. Yeah,
it is true, though. I mean,
because you do get them. We have experienced.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you say that and you experience it at every level. You know, it's not like, oh, as you progress in your career and, you know, it's not like, oh, you encounter more of that. In fact, it's probably less, actually. You know, I tend to find you sort of get more.
I would say so.
With knobheads, really. Not, you know, there's more about.
There's a lot of Billy. We used to use the phrase Billy Big Bollocks, didn't we? There was a lot of that at a certain level, wasn't there? You know, when you're starting out as a band and you sort of start getting a few gigs in pubs and stuff, and you start becoming a bit of a regular face on. I mean, I can only talk from my experience. I don't even know what it's like now, you know, playing in pubs and stuff on the scene. But when we were around in our early days, sort of 2000 and like. When was it? Like 2010, 11, around Preston and Manchester. That was our sort of time. You get to know, you become a face, a band, you know, and everybody gets to know everybody else, and you get to know all the other bands that are on the. You play the same bands over and over again, and different lineups, don't you, in different pubs for different people. And you get to sort of know, you see bands coming and going, and you do get bands that are just. You just know straight away, don't you? You're just like, they'll be here 5 minutes because they just. And the ones that aren't knobheads are the ones that are around for a long time, you know, and it definitely filters them out, doesn't it?
It takes all sorts, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. Well, I think, I think the point is, even if you're in a good band, but you're knobheads, then
by knobheads, I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, well, maybe we should define that.
I mean, I'm a knobhead.
If you support Man United,
yeah, exactly.
No, it's nothing like that. It's the way you talk to people, really, and the way you just treat people.
Yeah,
and it's not even about the music. It's about sometimes you just, and I'm sure this happens in every walk of life, but some people just talk to other bands, to promoters, to venue staff, like garbage. Shit.
They waltz. You see them. You see them waltz into venues. Sometimes we got to a stage where we were headlining a few pubs and a few events and stuff.
Headlining pubs,
you know, on these like lineups, you know, for various people around wherever the northwest, and which was a great feeling. You know, you get to that point, and you're, and then you see some bands walk in, and you just fucking know straight away. It's like the entourage and the fucking 10,000 amp heads and, well, you know, and the sunglasses on inside and all that stuff.
There's a confidence that you can have, but then, you know, you quickly learn to spot the kind of false bravado, you know what I mean? That is making up for a lot of insecurities, you know, where it matters, you know, which, you know, if you're an amazing band and you know it, You shouldn't have to kind of throw your weight around like that, should you?
You don't. You know? It's almost like you're showing up your band with your attitude and your image, really. Yeah. You know, and it will happen at that level where if you are that kind of person, other band, you quickly become kind of ostracized from it a bit because other bands don't. I mean, we found we generally started playing with all the bands we liked. The Goddamn Electric, great band, great guys. We played loads of gigs with them. Fire in the Empire. Mick and the guys, we like those guys, great guys, played loads of shows with them. Well, they were all right. They were around for a long time. They turned into Bigfoot, great guys, played shows with them, you know, and all the good bands and the decent people want to play shows with other good bands who are decent people. Mm. Nobody ends up wanting to play shows with knobs, do they? You know, and pubs and promoters and bookers and venue managers, You show anybody any attitude at that level.
Word gets around quick.
Word gets around so fast. It really does. Yeah.
And it's like a stage. And you know, when you're trying to establish your band, it's so important to have everything that you can possibly have going for you. You know, why make life harder for you when you're already have absolutely everything stacked against you? You know.
It's a big mountain to climb. You've got nothing in your corner, and you're already throwing your weight around, like,
yeah,
you know.
I mean I'm trying to look back, because there was a period of time where I don't think I was I certainly didn't treat anybody and talk to anybody like that, but I think there was a time when I kind of had a little bit of a sort of I don't really care kind of not that I didn't care, but you know, I was probably having a bit too much. I was maybe having a few too many beers before we played. Not to the point where I was stumbling around or anything, but just didn't take it quite as seriously as I could.
Yeah.
And I look back at that time and I think, I wish I'd have done that a bit differently. So yeah. It doesn't necessarily go hand in hand, you know, with the sort of drinking at gigs and everything, but it certainly doesn't help either. You know what I mean? It does absolutely no good for you. You need to make an impact every single time. And I know there were times, plenty of times that we played where I could have been better. And so I guess that's the flip side of that. Even when you're not being a knobhead, you can just focus on the job at hand a little bit more.
Do you think it's an aspect? It's interesting to say that a lot of young bands, whether they do now, they did when we were sort of setting out, They look back a long way and idolise bands back from when that was a bit more acceptable.
Definitely,
and
yeah.
That's where that comes from. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Their idols are the bands from the 70s and 80s that acted up and could get away with it. And they read about it in books, read about it in magazines, and that's the way they've got to be, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, you know.
Where realistically, nowadays, that just doesn't slide, does it?
No, well, it's just not like that. I mean, you look at, you know, the Guns N' Roses, the Sunset Strip kind of lot, you know, the Motley Crue, because you tend to find this in a...
Lose the cowboy hat, guys. Just lose it.
There's a certain kind of... a certain sub-genres of rock that really kind of, you know, it's that sleazy sort of thing, and it all kind of goes hand in hand with a certain way of life, maybe.
But from Stockport.
Well, but that's it, you know, it's like...
Yeah, Wigan.
You could play that. You could do the music and... I don't know. Are you not authentic if you're not truly living the life as well? But you're not living the life, because you're going to go back to work in the
post office,
in the co-op or whatever.
It's a strange one, isn't it? It's
a weird one to juggle. But even so, back to the original kind of point. There's no need to be a knob when you're doing it.
No, you know? No. I mean, we found. Again, I'm not blowing our own trumpet or anything. Well, maybe a little bit.
This is just one big kiss ass, kissing our own ass.
We definitely benefited from. We hear a lot of people say, "Oh, you know, how do I get out of gigs? And you know, who do I contact? And I'm struggling getting shows." You know, we always found that, you know, we turned up, kept our mouths shut, kept our eyes open, practice your songs a lot, be good, be nice to people, talk to fans. It's not hard. And then, you know, and then they were coming back to you. We found that promoters were coming back to us and festival organisers were coming back to us. You know, Les Fest, Wildfire, we played that festival 3 or 4 times running, and various other played for umpteen other people who are still booking us now. Raz White, you know, is a great example of a guy booked us for Rockmantic. We started off at the bottom of the bill, went up the bill, headlined it 1 year after playing it 3 or 4 times. And then he's booked us for Call of the Wild, which he's amazingly asked us to headline a few years ago. You know, these people, that to me is testament of getting on with the people in the business, you know.
Well, my sort of single bit of advice would be to, and again, it kind of goes hand in hand really, because it's like, I would say, don't wait, just go out there and play. Play whatever and wherever, absolutely anything. Because at that early stage, what you need is just, you need the experience. Stage time, yeah, it is. It's like a, you know, I guess a kind of apprenticeship, you know.
Mm.
But, you know, you need to hone your craft
totally
where it matters, you know. And get get yourself in front of as many eyes and ears as possible.
I remember when we started. Well, we were predominantly a cover band, really, when we started, weren't we? And then the original stuff came along pretty quick. But there was a real sort of in our area where we lived. Excuse me. There was a real sort of snobbery thing about the cover bands. Oh, you're a cover band, and we used to. But man, we were like, we're out every Friday and Saturday earning money. And playing to pubs that are like packed out.
Yeah.
You know, and you're working crowds and you're playing for 2 hours on stage plus playing biker rallies, making a lot of money. And,
making money.
But we were putting the money into the pot, weren't we? Paying for a van, which allowed us to then do the original circuit, which at the time played nothing.
Making money that otherwise wouldn't have been made playing original gigs.
Exactly. Would have just been playing original gigs and being played 20 quid, you know.
And then over time, we start creeping original songs in and just no one noticed. And then you start playing them and then all of a sudden you're playing half and half. But no one's questioned it.
Yeah, because it's going down. Because they don't care because they're there selling beer, aren't they?
And that's how we got into it.
And then you start playing the original circuit and then all the people that come to the cover nights start appearing at the flipping
original gigs.
And then the people at the original gigs who have booked you are going, fucking hell, these lads brought a crowd.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's how it worked for us, really. And I know, learning covers is a big effort, like, and it's something that a lot of people maybe really don't want to do. And I do totally understand because we fell out of love playing covers, didn't we? After playing them for so long, it just became soul destroying. But you know, if you're starting out as a musician, it's an amazing, and you want to put the time in. It's an amazing place to start getting good at being in a band, I think.
Yeah, and play the covers that you like as well. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well. Again, it's just play as many gigs as you can, and if learning a few covers is going to help you do that, then do that, you know. And going back to the other point, if you're not a knob while you're doing it, then you will get asked back, and you'll end up with more money, more offers, more opportunities, and ultimately just more people coming to watch you when you go out, and that's what everyone wants,
isn't
it? Really?
And it is difficult, and it is difficult. I do realise you do meet some interesting characters along the way, be promoters, pub landlords, whoever, the band managers, and you do want to punch them in the face sometimes, you really do, but sometimes you've just got to get on with everyone, haven't you? We were doing that umpteen times, haven't you? Just get on. You might not want to, and you might want to never see these people ever again, and that guy talked to me like shit, or I don't want to play here ever again. Just suck it up. It's all right. Just be nice, and I think it's advantageous to get on with everyone. You know what I mean? Be that nice guy. Be the nice band. Be accommodating and work hard and you know, keep your head down and do your job.
You never want anyone to sort of, when they hear that they're going to have to deal with you, you know, to have that reaction like, oh God, you know. Which I'm sure there are still some people because you can be as nice as you want, but if you do it long enough, you are going to rub some people up the wrong way and you are going to, maybe there's a bit of friction between certain people, which does happen to absolutely everybody. But just don't make it harder for yourself and be nice, you know. So that's kind of that, isn't it? That's be nice, play as much as you can.
Mm.
And another one would be, I guess, be prepared to. Put the miles in, you know, and to be in it for the long haul and the hard work, really.
It ain't an overnight thing, is it?
Well, it ain't for us, you know. It wasn't for us. And
it's been a 15-year night.
it's just, I don't know, you know. It's something like you've got to kind of control your expectations a little bit. You absolutely be ambitious,
yeah.
But you've got to understand that it isn't. There is always an element of like. Who you know, sadly, it is not. You could write the best album that's ever been.
Yeah.
But if you have never played gigs and you've never gone out there, and you've never released the music, it kind of doesn't matter really. You need people on your side.
Mm. We have seen so many good bands knock it on the head before. Their time, haven't we? We've been sort of slogging away, and we've been seeing this play with some bands. And go, wow, these guys are oh, these guys are killer. These guys are going places. And then 2, 3, 4 years down the line, and, you know, they're working hard and it's just not going anywhere. And it's next minute. Gone, isn't it? And it's like, wow, no way, man. Why? Why, you know, why did you knock it on the head? It's sad. Sad, isn't it? You know?
There was a few bands from in the very early days, like around about 2012, 13, when we first started doing original only gigs, you know, and that became our focus. We were playing with some bands then that blew us out of the water in terms of songwriting and and how they how good they were live.
They were ugly though, not like us.
Well, I'll name a couple, in my opinion. There was a band called The Fiction
they were
from Manchester. They had a 4-track EP that I believe they recorded in their like rented house or whatever they were in at the time. Unbelievable. Right, amazing songs. Still listen to it sometimes now, thinking like,
even now,
even now,
it's like these are great songs.
It's a bit rough, like with the recording and everything, but you the raw kind of talent that was there.
Yeah, the voices, all three of them sang.
Yeah, they were three piece. They used to be in another band. There were three of members of another 5-piece band that broke off and started doing this kind of like proggy punk.
Is it Some at the Tide or Some at the Against the Tide or Against the Waves?
Can't remember.
Bloody hell!
I can't remember. But anyway, amazing band, really good. Another one, another 3-piece actually, from Anglesey, Inferno.
Inferno, yeah, yeah.
How good were they?
Yeah, they were. Well, again, they were great guys. I remember we supported them at the Frog and Bucket Comedy Club in Preston one night. First time we'd ever played with them. We'd seen their name around. They'd, at the time, they'd played like Bloodstock and Hard Rock Hells and stuff. And I was like, wow. To us, it was like, wow, these guys have played actual festivals. It's amazing.
How many people were there?
About 5.
Was there? I honestly thought, in my memory, maybe none. There was no one. I remember we did.
Might just play to the other bands.
Yeah, I think we did.
But they were immense.
Great band.
We were just like. And to be honest, I think for me, they were the first ever band that made me realise how what we had to do.
Yeah.
To be honest, in terms of like. They had an image. They had it sounds stupid. It had their logo on the drum skin. Yeah. They had a look. They had a sound. It was ferocious. It was the set was like start to finish. It wasn't like a song and then a bit of chat. No, turn me amp up, turn me amp down, or fucking have a drink of water. It was like a show.
Yeah,
start to finish, and it was like this is what we need to do. We need to hang around with these guys.
Yeah, and it also like because they were coming from Anglesey to do anything. You know they we thought we were out in the middle of nowhere, really. But then, you know, those guys are coming to just get to sort of like where the scene kind of was around Manchester. They're having to drive 2.5 hours, you know what I mean?
And then home again.
And then home.
In an old transit van with your bloody armchair in back of it.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? It made us think, wow, this is the level we're going to have to go to.
Well, that's it. You know, we didn't see them and think, bloody, look at these flash twats. You know, look how... You know, try to sort of, you know, get your back up about it. It was like, right, let's do more with them. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let's copy them. Let's take notes.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to realize that and not be so proud to not take, not advice, but, you know, keep your eyes open and
yeah. Allow yourself to be steered by influences like that.
Absolutely.
We played loads and loads of shows with them guys, didn't we, over the years, and became a bit of a thing, didn't it? And sadly, they knocked it on the head now. I was talking to Joseph, the singer, guitar player, a bass player, the other day on Instagram. Actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he still puts like stuff out on Instagram. Amazing, Inferno, yeah.
Brilliant band.
Yeah. And then there was another band a lot of people probably remember, classic rock fans will remember. I remember doing The Business at the time, and for whatever reason, they knocked it on the head, and I was amazed. Is it Cage the Gods?
Cage of the Gods. Was that the four? Did they have like a member from England, a member from Ireland, a member from Scotland, a member from Wales? Yeah.
And they seemed to me at the time like to be the next thing. Like, it was like, wow.
I remember they had a CD on.
They were great.
On the front of their album, the first album, I think, came free with a copy of Classic Rock Magazine.
That's right. Yeah, did. Yeah,
I do remember that.
And then them knocking it on the head and being gutted and being like, bloody hell. But yeah, no, yeah, it's stick it out, you know, work hard at it. If it's what you want to do, stick it out and keep going. I remember I've always taken inspiration from like Lizzie Hale, and she said that she was around doing it for 10, 11, 12 years and was almost knocked it on the head before anybody paid her any attention. And she, you know, she almost quit. Biffy Clyro, you know, released
A
handful of albums.
Yeah, a lot of albums,
Before anybody took any notice, and, you know, then what happened? So I believe if you stick it out long enough and you want to do it enough and you pour your heart and soul into it, then it can happen to a degree, I think.
Yeah, and enjoy it, you know.
Oh yeah.
The second it becomes, well, no, that's not true. Actually, I was about to totally contradict everything we just said. Really, I was going to say the second it becomes, you know, hard and not fun, then don't do it anymore. When that's bollocks, because there's always going to be a point where it's hard
drop
and not
a
fun.
Gear, don't you?
Yeah,
get going.
There's always going to be a point where it's hard and not fun, but. Remember why, you know, you've got to remember what you're doing it for. Don't want to sound too cheesy or anything, but, you know, you really do have to, you know, what would you rather be doing? I know we've had jobs and we've had, I say real jobs, and that is, I know what I'd rather be doing, even when this is like at its worst, it's still probably better than...
Yeah, I agree.
Doing that,
driving wagons,
it's
soldering for a living.
Yeah, it's not great, but no. There you go.
It's worth it.
It is worth it.
I'd say the last bit of information, a bit of advice I'd give before this we run out of time, is I would say it's very, very important. Another reason bands split up is it's falling out with your bandmates. You've got to be open minded. You've got to listen to other people's ideas. You've got to you might have a vision for something, and you've got to have faith that the people in your band are listening to you and know your vision. And if they want to say something, I always say, whenever I come with my words, I say, these are the words I've written. If you don't like anything, just fucking say, I can chop it out, you know, we can sort around it. I want everybody in the band to be happy with the songs. I'm sure everybody else in our band wants everybody to be happy where it's going and what we're doing. And that's... It's not worth falling out over. It's not worth falling out over a song or an idea. We've got over that years ago because we just don't anymore. But there has been times in the past where, you know, there has been a little tension or a little bit of like, oh, this song's going or this album's going. But
yeah, but that's it. And I guess it's true of any situation where you're having to work with other people. Know when to just back off a little bit. Yeah. Know when to just sort of like go, hang on a minute, I could see the way this is going. Everyone's getting a bit riled up. Let's just give it, you know, 10 minutes or whatever, and then you come back to it. And
I love that bit of that song, and you want to chop it out. But there's a few times I've thought that. I've thought, fuck, I love that bit of that song. And you've gone, I think we should get rid of that. And I've gone, in the back of my head, I've thought, I don't want to get rid of that. I really like that. But I've gone, no, yeah, let's chop it out. Play it through a few times. See how it goes. 9 times out of 10, you chop the bit out. You play it through a few times and you go, really? That's bare. Yeah. If I'm really honest, that is bare. Do you know what I mean?
It does, you know, I have the same thing. And I genuinely do not mind if... a suggestion I have or whatever is met with a kind of, you know, no, we don't like that. Or if I make a suggestion that it's tried and it really isn't as good as it was, then I've got no problem saying, you know, I don't dig my heels in just because I made that call at all. You know, that's something you've really got to just really just keep that perspective. Listen to the song. The audience, the listener, does not give a shit who wrote what or, you know, whose idea was what. Or like they want nice noise coming into their ears.
That's it.
And just remember that.
Oh, I feel sorry for Adam. He wanted that. I could tell he wanted that solo to be an extra 4 bars there. What a bunch of arseholes.
Yeah.
No, they just want good songs. You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Well, you know, that's basically the big things I would certainly say, you know.
Yeah.
There's a hundred things, you know, bits of advice and whatever.
I'd say those are the big things for us though, aren't they? You know, don't be a knob. Work hard. Be prepared to put the miles in.
Yeah,
don't give up.
Try to get along.
And try to get along with your bandmates. Very important.
Yeah, those are all the kind of broad stroke bits of advice rather than going to like, you know, this too specific with what to do and whatever. But
yeah.
Anyway, if we've talked absolute garbage, please let us know.
Please let us know. I love the comments on YouTube. They're my favourite. One of the highlights of my week.
Going through them.
I love it.
Well, if you are watching on YouTube, hit that like and subscribe. You know, the old subscribers are kind of going up now.
It's good.
Which is great for the band, great for the channel. Yeah. When we release new music and whatever, it'll all be on here. So
we'll spam you with it.
Other bits, we're working on a few other bits of content as well. And we're running right out of time.
Colin Brown. Oh, see you next week.